not even being programmed these days to necessarily embrace monogamy. Like all the TED Talks are about polygamy, polyamory, from what I see. And yet people still stick to these, like the traditional idea of a, you know, relationship with two people. And also, if monogamy were to be just social conditioning, why would it have been adopted in the first place? Like who would have been orchestrating that conditioning? The only reason it would have happened, as I see it, is because it's natural. Like there would have been no force, you know, manipulating people and saying like, you guys need to do two couples of two, you, like take your group of five and stop doing that. Like it, I think it would have come into fruition on a natural basis.
You guys, Primal Meetup's doing really well. I can't believe people are joining, and it's just awesome. I'm just excited about this group. I enjoy every single night I come home and I log on to Primal Meetup, and I enjoy having this community so much to lean on. It's like a group of people that I can lean on to show up with great energy, to answer some of my health questions if I have any of them, and to just vibe with me on a level that I can't connect with other people on in the regular real world, you know? Like, it's amazing to be able to enjoy the topic of raw meat and a primal lifestyle and clean living with other people who understand what the fuck I'm talking about. So if you guys are in like the primal world and eat the raw primal diet, or just are interested in these topics, you can join Primal Meetup by going to the link I put in the show notes. It's a really nice energy in there, and I'm really proud of what we've been creating, and eventually we're going to do like physical meetups, and we also use it for dating. People have already met on there, which is amazing, and I'm just really excited about it, you guys. So if you're interested in joining, if you want some like-minded community, if, you know, in-person community is not really available to you to the extent that you need it, join Primal Meetup.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Root Awakening, a health podcast. Joey Schwartz is with me today. I'm super excited. I'm really impressed with what Joey is doing. I don't know much about his content, to be honest, because I'm new to his audience and checking out his stuff. But you guys, the listeners here, love him and requested him to be on this podcast. And I heard a couple things about what you're doing, Joey, like what you're organizing, and just the content that you're putting out is really impressive. The volume of content you're putting out is really impressive. So it's an honor to have you on. I'm really excited to have you here. Joey Schwartz, welcome to Root Awakening, a health podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. I always love doing these. Yeah.
So I didn't ask you actually before we started recording, how would you describe yourself? Like if I were to give you a title on this podcast, what would that be?
Oh, cool. So yeah, a lot of these interviews, it's like, how did you start raw meat? What's good about raw meat? And you're like, yeah, you're getting into some of the more fun stuff. I like that. How would I describe myself? Like in a social sense, like adjectives about me or something, or just like an overarching thing?
Yeah, like what you're doing online. Like, do you have another job besides content creating? Would you just consider yourself a content creator?
Yeah. So I want that to be my job, doing something within content. It's fun for me. I love making videos. I love editing stuff, making thumbnails. That's just enjoyable for me. At the moment, it can sustain me, but I do have plans. I want to have farmland and do these things pretty young, so, and be self-sustaining. So I think I may have to play into the system a little bit and get some sort of job for a while online, and then eventually get myself to a point where I can just sustain myself off content after I have acquired a piece of land. But yeah, at the moment I would just say content creation, and yeah, I love it. It's so much fun because it forces me to learn stuff, and it's just a win-win. Like when I started my channel, I just had the idea, well, I'll start making videos, and if it fails, it fails, and even if it does fail, at least I push myself to do something new, to learn how to edit, to like do a ton of research and find out the truth. And if it succeeds, well, that's great too. So that's the position I'm in right now, just trying to figure out what exactly comes next.
Yeah, that's a good position to be in, because you're not putting so much pressure on the work to be successful. You're starting it with an open mind and like, okay, I'm not depending on this. My life isn't depending on this. So we'll see where this goes. I think that's a really cool place to be in. And a lot of people have created a lot of success from that. And you already have. So Joey has a huge following. He's on Instagram. He also has a huge following on YouTube. When did you start your YouTube?
I think maybe about a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah, about a year ago. I'm not really active on Instagram, although I should be, because yeah, I should be. But yeah, YouTube about a year ago.
Nice. YouTube is more monetizable anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Also, I think it's more suitable for the videos that I like to make. I mean, the short form stuff is cool, and I could do that. I'm thinking about getting into the TikToks and all that, and obviously Instagram Reels, because you could just throw those everywhere. Like, you make a video less than 60 seconds in that vertical frame, and you could throw it everywhere. But at the moment, I like the longer form stuff. I like talking and not having to make crazy edits. So yeah, just that's kind of what I'm doing now.
How would you describe your content beyond that? Like, to someone who hasn't seen it before, you're talking, is it kind of like blog style?
How would I describe it? Okay. So in terms of length, I do podcasts. I also do just short form content where I'm just kind of talking about a topic I find relevant, or I'll go outside and record a video of me talking about philosophical things. Like sort of dynamics between men and women, where I think we're headed, New World Order, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then like in terms of the actual type of content that I'm making, as far as how it affects people, for someone who's not familiar to it, it can be pretty triggering, because I hit a lot of soft spots with the things that I say. And I also think it can be eye-opening for a lot of people, because I really talk about things that aren't discussed on YouTube very often.
I know. I think that's really interesting. When I checked out your stuff, I wanted to ask you about this too, and we're already going there, which is great. The first thing I noticed was when you're talking about diet, you have very opinionated views when it comes to what is a good diet and what is not a good diet. Would you agree?
Yeah, although I'm letting loose a little bit more now. My philosophy now is just seasonal, high quality, organic, and don't overcook stuff, and make sure you eat most, like, a lot of animal products. That's really the philosophy now. I do think that there's nuance, and sometimes you do have to be particular about stuff, and a cooked carnivore diet is not going to work for everyone. In the same way, a raw carnivore diet may not work for everyone. That's not even what I promote necessarily. So it's raw, like seasonal, organic, high quality, local. Yeah.
Nice. What is your diet right now?
So right now I don't fast. I wake up, I usually eat eggs, raw eggs, eat those through the day. And when I have raw dairy, I eat a lot of it. Like, I love raw cream especially. Mm. So I'll do that. I do maybe a pound of raw meat or more, whether it be chicken, pork, or beef, but lately it's mostly beef. What else? I do some starches sometimes, but I'll always pair it with a raw butter. And I do like a couple fruits a day, maybe, or some unheated honey. So it's not like crazy low carb. I do eat some carbs. And honestly, like, to be honest with you, I'm finding that I'm changing my diet constantly, but it's not even affecting me. Like, what really affects me is my stress levels, my EMF exposure, like how happy I am, how content I am, how much sunlight I'm getting, how much I'm grounding. Those are what really move the needle, much more than the dietary alterations.
That's amazing. It's so similar to what my approach is right now with food, but also I also saw the evidence how potent our mindset is and how much that affects our body.
It's unreal. Yeah.
Yes. And would you say, I was on my friend Matt's podcast, Meditation, it's called the Primal Podcast. He just started it yesterday. And we were talking about this exact topic. I think that the primal community, so I'm in more like the raw primal community. I haven't done carnivore for that long. And maybe it lasted 2 weeks and then my body didn't like it. And that's when I was doing like cooked carnivore, I guess. So more recently I've been doing like the raw primal stuff. And I'm noticing in the raw primal community, at least on Instagram, people are not connecting mental health to their physical health. Like, if their mental health is fucked up very clearly, and they're trying to achieve physical health, but they're not connecting the two or seeing that good physical health should mean good mental health. And if your mental health is not good, that means there's something also wrong with the physical health. What's your approach to that? Like, would you agree that people in the community kind of look over mental health as far as like protocols to help your well-being?
Yeah, they definitely overlook it. And with carnivore, my idea was that diet is everything. And once you have the diet in check, everything else falls into place. Like you stop stressing out, your cortisol levels are lower in theory. Everything falls into place after the diet, but that's not even, I don't think that's even true. And Andrinus is brilliant. I mean, I think We Want to Live is probably the greatest contribution to nutrition literature that exists. It's so good. But I think he neglects mindset a bit too much. He neglects EMF, maybe optimizing your circadian rhythms, all these things that are also like basically markers of natural living. I mean, he has the natural diet, but how about the natural lifestyle factors? You can't offset all the like our terrible environment with just the diet, in my opinion. So yeah, I think the primal dieters, they fell in love with Ogenus and they don't want to think that he neglected anything, but the mindset's essential. Like I think the mindset is so important. Like German New Medicine basically says that you can eat what you want as long as you believe that it's good for you. And maybe that's not totally true, but it's powerful because if you eat something and you're like, this is really going to fuck me up, then it's going to
yeah.
Like our mindset has a huge role in the way we digest food. If you pray before you eat, you're more likely to digest it properly. Like the way we think has an effect on the body for sure.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I've tested it a lot. Like 3 months ago, Joey, 4 months ago, I was eating like restaurant food, Cheetos, fries. And I've done like a lot of the Weston A. Price stuff for years now and kind of narrowed down my diet. But like you, I mean, maybe I'm a little bit more extreme in going through phases than you. I'm not sure. But I also go through phases with my diet. So I've done a lot of experiments to see how does my body react to certain foods. And if I just don't stress about what I'm eating, does my body react in a less intense way? And yes, it does. It does. And
yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of people, right? A lot of people may argue, well, you're eating shit food, so your body's not able to detox and blah, blah, blah. But when it comes down to quality of life, and am I enjoying my life, or am I spending all this time stressing if everything isn't perfect? I would rather have just a higher quality of life than stressing all the time. It's just like a no-brainer for me. So when did you start realizing this, that mindset played such a big factor?
Let's see. So, okay, I was super brainwashed into the carnivore thing. Like, I think it's just brainwashing where you think that all you need to do is eat meat and you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's, but when did I break out of that? Maybe with experimentation. I mean, I think I watched a lot of Jack Cruz stuff and learned about light. And then that sort of led me down the other rabbit holes that differ, you know, that kind of turn you in a different direction than just diet alone. So yeah, I think at some point it was intuitive to me. Like, and also it just works right, like hand in hand with stress. Like stress is the proof that the way you know, the way you live your life, the way you think has an effect on your outcomes. So yeah, there were a few things that made me understand that.
Cool. So you just started kind of stumbling across information that rang true to you. You didn't have a moment where you were like, oh my God, like my diet's great, but my mental health is really bad.
No, I've had those sort of epiphanies in other senses of my life, but never with nutrition or optimizing health. Those always seem to have come a bit more gradually. Yeah.
Okay, cool. You're a very intuitive guy. That's awesome. Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 19.
Joey, when I was 19, I was in a bar, wasted on a Wednesday afternoon. maybe you get a lot of people asking you like, this is crazy that you're a young person. And I'm 31. You're a young person and you're getting into these like really just spiritual topics, I'm now noticing, and this really thoughtful lifestyle. Have you always been drawn to this type of lifestyle of like, you know, not going wild in the sense of like getting drunk and experimenting with drugs and, you know, doing the typical society normie things? Like, have you always felt drawn to this alternative way of thinking and being?
No, I was doing the normal stuff through high school, like in that normal friend group, that normal scene that I'm from LA, so it was all that stuff. And I just hadn't been exposed to anything. So for for me, I think that when I'm thrown a lot of different ideas, I trust my discernment and I trust my analysis of things like really quickly. Like if I think something resonates with me, I usually approach it and I usually think find it to be true. So I feel like I got to this stuff pretty quick, like the figuring out that the four pillars of health are probably light, stress, EMF, and chemicals in our food, and just the environment. I think those are the big four. And it took me about a year, but I think this is right. And so yeah, I just trust like and being on YouTube and all this stuff, doing all the interviews, speaking with tens, maybe dozens of different people. And it's like everyone has a different approach. I'm watching so many videos and trying to research for stuff. I just think that like I've had a lot of stuff thrown at me, but I just trust my ability to pinpoint what I think is right. And so I definitely was like that early on, but as soon as the stuff started being thrown at me, I kind of ran with it.
I love it. Have you always trusted yourself like this?
No. It's really interesting. So I had a massive change in my life in like when I was how old? 16 or 17. When I was a freshman in high school, I was a very different person. I was really laid back, wasn't confident, had no conviction in anything that I said, no self-confidence. And then I don't know what happened. I actually need to think about that more and figure out what changed, but something changed. And by the time I was 17 or 18, I was the one with like the strongest beliefs. I was the one going against like the feminist stuff, like the really like dangerous ideas that we were being taught in class with like different ideologies that I just didn't agree with, and like our super woke like ideologue system in LA, and like I was just pushing back against the teachers and my classmates, and like I was totally comfortable doing it. So I don't know, there was just a shift in the way I thought, and I actually need to think more about why that actually happened. I don't know.
That's cool. But there obviously wasn't necessarily just a traumatic moment or big significant moment where you just flipped. Because I know sometimes that's some people's experience, but like for me, for example, trusting myself was a long fucking gradual journey. But there was also a turning point in high school. It started with my friends. When in high school, when people are gossiping and they're, I don't know, I guess it could be more of a thing with girls, but I think it happens either way. It's like click stuff. At a certain point, I was like, fuck this. Like, I want friends who like don't talk shit about me behind my back. I want friends who like really respect me. So there was like a moment where I drew boundaries with people and I said, okay, I want these people out of my life. These people feel good to me. And that was really a moment of like, I like changed in that kind of small period. But beyond that, it was a very gradual process of me trusting myself. And it's something that I really, again, I'm just super impressed that you've been able to have this solid foundation of belief in yourself. Because now that we're talking about it, I really feel like that's probably one of the most important things you can have in life is to trust yourself, the ability to trust yourself and not just look to other people for answers.
Yeah, no, 100%. Trusting yourself is so important, for multiple reasons. Like number one, if you trust yourself and you have beliefs in everything that you do, chances are that they're going to turn out better. Like in the example with food that I gave, if you're eating a certain type of food and you think it's going to do you wrong, then it's going to do you wrong. Versus if you think it's going to be good for you, it's less likely to be harmful. So, and also just like being confident, I mean, it's powerful. It radiates a certain energy to other people. People feed off of it, people catch on to it. So I'm trying to think, when did I started to really trust myself? I think there were just moments in my life where I looked back and I was like, okay, every time I trust myself, it pays off. Or I'm looking at my test that I just got graded. It's like whenever I trust my instinct and just listen to my gut, so something good happens. And I just like these days, if I make a video and I'm like, instead of stressing so much about a title, like what pops into my head? Okay, I'm gonna run with it. So yeah, I mean, self-trust is powerful. And also maybe a lot of it came into play when I started understanding that ideally, living in the most natural environment possible, most natural way, is conducive to health and happiness. So, with that sort of idea, with that ideology, the logical extension of that is that, well, instincts are best. If nature is ideal, then nature is literally reliant on instincts. So, yeah, those are maybe a few things that fed into the way I thought. I'm sorry, like the sun is right here, like and it kind of messed up my face.
Do you
Like,
want to? No, it's fine on my end, but do you want to move or something?
no, I don't mind. It's just it'll go down. It's 5:20 here, so in Portugal, so
Oh, you're in Portugal? That's awesome. Do you live there?
No, I'm here for another few days. I'll tell you what happened. Let's fix this. Yeah, so I actually was at UCLA and then I left and I just decided to leave LA. So just like booked a flight to Spain and like totally on a whim. And yeah, so now I'm here I am.
That's phenomenal. How has it been?
It's been really good. Yeah, it's been cool. Just like I don't know, like a lot of people were angry with me. My family was pretty pissed off that I left UCLA because it's like hard to get into, and everyone in my family wanted me to go to college, but I realized how stupid it was. And like I wasn't learning anything. It was a waste of my time, it was a waste of money. So yeah, I kind of just fled, but I'll go back soon and figure out what to do next, maybe Central America or something, and stay there for a while.
Hell yeah, that's awesome, man. Portugal's beautiful, isn't it?
We're in Porto, so north of Lisbon, and yeah, no, it's awesome. Yeah, it's really nice, really different vibe. Like people are nice, everyone says hi to you. It's just
Chill.
totally different than LA, which yeah, very different.
So I've heard mixed feedback from LA. I'm from San Diego area,
Okay.
and now I'm
Where?
in Michigan. But so I only lived my childhood in California, and I liked it at the time, because I'm like, everyone's so chill. I moved to Michigan, and everyone's like way more uptight. The kids are, in my opinion, the kids were like way more fucked up by there. I moved to like a suburb where people tend to have a lot of money, and I thought the vibes in California, just intuitively as a child, people were raised in a much more open way, more open-minded, all that. And now, as an adult, I haven't really visited California again. And I started this dating app, friendship app called Primal Meetup for the Primal community. And some people are from LA there, and they're telling me that there's like the biggest population of raw primal people are in LA. So that's one hand. But on the other hand, there's this really big, intense, hardcore liberal hub there as well. And I think that's what you mean kind of by like the woke culture that you don't love. So what I'm asking you here is, or what I'm getting at here is, like, what was your experience of LA? Were you able to at least find people that were into the alternative ideas that you love, or was it just a lot of the stuff that you weren't so into?
Yeah, it was none of the stuff that I was into. Yeah. Like in my high school, there was nobody who like I would say some things, and then people would come up to me privately and they'd be like, "Joey, and like you're totally right with this," but they would never speak up on my behalf in class or anything. So I was kind of alone, like me versus literally an entire class on many occasions. But yeah, I'm sure if I went back, I'm definitely gonna do a meetup. Like I'm gonna do a subscriber meetup or something. Primal and all that, but my experience in LA was not one where I found a lot of friends. How many people are in your primal chat or meet?
Not much, like 50 or something like that.
Okay.
My numbers are a lot lower than you. I'm not as famous as you. What I really like about it, and I keep encouraging other people to make their own groups and do their thing as well, of course. What I really like about my app is I moderate it, and we don't tolerate any shit. So I don't like the like hardcore vibes, the hardcore dogma. People in the rock primal community can be aggressive. There's a lot of really supportive people that I love, but there's a small percentage of people that are like we were saying, it's clear to me that they haven't been taking care of their mental health or prioritizing that, and they're taking it out on other people. So we block the people we got to block, and we ban the people we got to ban. And in the end, we've ended up with like a really supportive group. And it's nice to see who's single in the community, you know?
Yeah. Well, the Raw Primals are an interesting group. I mean, I've never seen a group that's fascinated me more from a psychology point of view, because I've been in a lot of primal group chats. And on one hand, these people are like, they're young, they're fun, they seem cool. But then they're also like very hateful in a lot of ways, like it, and they're super dogmatic. Like, and that's not necessarily like a big problem if Audrinus is right about everything. But it's like, if you don't follow Audrinus to a T, a lot of them get really angry because they're super possessive over his ideas. Mm-hmm. And it's just very interesting. It's a very interesting group of people that the Primal Diet attracts, I must say.
I know, man. And I've been invited to join some Telegram groups. I didn't spend much time in those spots because, like, no shade to the people that created the groups, because a lot, again, there's a lot of really amazing, nice people. But then the people that are having all the mental issues come in and just bring the shittiest vibes. And I'm like, sorry, no. There's also like a neo-Nazi. Neo-Nazis around the primal community. I'm like, guys, I made a video the other day. I'm like, is no one like, no one's thinking about like what are our values here, you know? And everyone can have their own values, of course, but I'm not down for that. That's not like something that feels good to me. So anyway, so it's been really nice to kind of gather the people that maybe they don't eat primal 100%, or maybe they do. We have people in the group that eat 100% primal, but they're just not forcing it at other people. And it creates like what we need, Joey. And I'm excited to talk to you about this, because I think you might have some plans in this arena. I don't know. But what we need in these fucking communities, that's kind of these communities that are alternative to society, we need actual community. Like you said, you had these ideas at your high school and you felt like you were very much the minority and it was kind of you against everyone else. There are a lot of people that have these ideas and eat like this that are feeling totally alone. And I don't think it has to be like that. And I think a lot of the, like, in my opinion, it's like the dogma and the arguing, that's just, you're pushing people away. But like, if we all have the same values, can't we come together and like make friends, meet people, go on dates with people, meet up with people? Like, we really need the community as part of the mental health aspect. Do you have plans to create some sort of a physical community?
Physical in what way?
Like,
like a real
commune?
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that? Because it sounds amazing.
Yeah, I think I want to do that. Like, maybe in the long term, as a long term thing, like a large group of people with lots of children running around and like a huge piece of land, growing our own stuff, having our own animals, you know, all that. Yeah, it would be cool. It's an idea. It's an idea. I don't have much of a plan. But I have some really close friends who are into this stuff. And, you know, if things line up, maybe we just do it all together, different houses on a big property. And yeah, it could be fun. I don't know.
I think it sounds awesome. And I think, I mean, I'm seeing a couple of these communities pop up. I don't want to like expose anybody who doesn't have these ideas really in reality yet, but I just know that there are people starting raw primal farms. There are
like
people
Scott. That was so cool. Yeah. I messaged the guy on Telegram who like owns the place in Costa Rica. I mean, that would be amazing. Like, they have hot springs. It's just have like something like that would be awesome. And you have, you know, like you rent out some rooms to people who want to do primal getaways, and all the food is supplied. It's like there would be really cool things to do with a project like that.
100%. And I think it's, I mean, sooner or later, I think for most people, it's like the funding because this lifestyle, I have a lot of thoughts here, but it seems like the funding is the biggest thing. And people haven't quite monetized a lot of what we can do in these realms. Like, I know people that are making cheese and making stuff that carnivores or raw primal dieters who have like 9-to-5 jobs don't have time to make. And we can start like creating an entrepreneurial spirit in this sector, you know, and once people get money, then they can buy the properties and all that. And I think that's when we're really going to start seeing the communities come into fruition. And I think it just sounds great, because if we all want to live a certain way, it just makes sense to me, you know? So I love that you're thinking about doing that as well. Okay.
And yeah.
You wouldn't do it in the States.
Oh, the States. I don't know. It's a bit concerning. Like, I would do it in the States. I would love to do it in the States because it's closer to my family. Mm-hmm. Everyone speaks English. You know, it's like what I know. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm very concerned about the future of the States and like what they have the power to do. And if all things, you know, go downhill, I think the States may go down first in terms of maybe not go down, but it's like, I think we're the most vulnerable to being controlled by the government and having a lot of bad things happen, like 15-minute cities, train derailments, literally just destroying states. Like, there's a lot that could happen. And I feel like I would feel a bit more protected and safe in Central America, a bit more untouchable. But yeah, I'm still trying to figure that out. Like, that's a huge question. Where could we do this? Mm-hmm. It's tough.
You know what I notice, and I don't know much about Costa Rica, and I don't know that much about South America, but I've talked to other people, obviously Europe and just some other countries like the Dominican Republic. In some third world countries where it seems like people, you might have more freedom because things are just like less quote unquote organized by politics or whatever. It can be a little bit more of a mess. Talking to some people who are from there, I have a good friend from the Dominican, and she's like, yeah, in a way it's like things are more disorganized, so no one's like keeping tabs on you as much, but the communities there are very obedient to what they think. They're still super obedient to politics, but things are a little bit more, from our American brains, it looks more relaxed. But she's like, people in the Dominican were like super, you know, injection friendly, because that's what the government was telling them to do. What's your take on that as far as other countries go? Obviously, we know Europe is like that. I don't even feel safe traveling there, to be honest with you, because I just don't know what's going to happen. I feel like they're way more strict than us. But what's your take on all that?
Yeah, I think Europe, you could generally group into a category and say that's just not a place you want to be because they're so strict about like what you just mentioned. But I think South America, you can't really group it. South and Central, you can't group it into a single idea, because a lot of the, like Colombia, for example, a lot of them were like, no, we're not doing this. Like, there's no way. Okay. And then I think like some other countries had some of the highest rates of like acceptance. So it just depends on the place, I think. A lot of people are really going to Costa Rica. I mean, it seems like a hot spot now. And yeah, I think that would be amazing. So I just need to do more research, figure out what's best.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I feel that. Like I said, I don't know much about it either. So it's interesting. And there must be a reason why a lot of people are going to Costa Rica. Cool. Okay, so let's get into some of your ideals and your values in life. Because again, I don't know much about that. And you mentioned like, being opposing the feminist movement and all that. Maybe let's start there. What are your thoughts on that, on sexes and the feminist movement?
Yeah. Basically, I think that it's divisive. And I think that it's not true to say that one sex is more oppressed than the other. Just given that we've gone through history and like as a team, it's always been a family unit. Yeah. And to say that one has been oppressed and one has been, you know, thriving is also incorrect. Like we could go back and forth, you know, between the feminists and the non-feminists on like ways that men and women are each oppressed. Mm-hmm. You know, like you could say women can't do this, women can't do that. You know, men have higher rates of homelessness, higher rates of suicide, higher rates of depression. Like we die more in wars, we do jobs that kill us more. Like it's totally pointless. It's not going to get us anywhere. We can go round for round. There's no point. Why not just say, you know, we're a team, we're together, you know, like we're not against one another, we're with one another. I just don't like the idea of dividing us. And in school, it was like very divisive. These girls were being taught that they're victims and that they're going to be held back in life. I really hate the victim mentality on like a racial and a gender level. I think it's just all damaging. and it's not empowering at all. It's destructive. So that's my take. It's just also totally unnatural to basically place a hierarchy of sexes. Like it just makes no sense. It's totally inconsistent with all my beliefs. And I generally revert to nature as, you know, my foundation. And this is just completely straying far, far, far away from that as I see it.
Yeah, totally. I recognize that too. Like, hey, I mean, we can look at it in politics, and these days, like, feminism goes hand in hand with politics. Like, we get told that. Nothing's getting done. The pendulum is swinging one way, and then it's swinging the other way, and then it's swinging back the other way. So that's, like, the evidence that I need. Like you say, we never get to a place of, like, okay, how can we kind of fix this, heal this, and move forward? I get that.
No.
What would you say your most controversial topics are that you talk about these days?
Let's see. I think some of the Ajna stuff is very controversial, like the germ theory stuff, and saying that cancer is basically just your body trying to heal the mitochondria, saying that autoimmune diseases are just your body detoxing. Like some of that stuff is very controversial just because of how many people are affected by cancer and how many people literally watch their parents and grandparents crumble in front of them with chemotherapy. And just like it's so destructive. And for that person who had their grandfather or mother die from cancer, they thought, and then I'm going online and saying, no, the cancer doesn't kill you. The cancer is trying to save your life. It's like, they're like, wait, you know, like this is, I hate this guy. I want to kill this guy. He's totally changing my understanding of my own experience. And I don't want to believe him, because if I believe this, then I'm basically admitting that my family member who I love to death was murdered. And it's just very triggering for people. Also the black pill stuff, like I'm not totally into black pill, but I think there's validity in it. And a lot of people
seem,
like blue pill, red pill, black pill. Have you heard of that?
I've heard blue pill, red pill, but not black pill.
Okay, yeah, black pill is basically just like genetics and your attractiveness supersede a lot of the other traits that people would consider to be indicative of a sexual partner. Mm-hmm. So it's like your looks are really, really important compared to the other stuff. And like the idea is that in nature, you know, gorillas are attracted to another gorilla based on how they look. And that's really what it is. It's your genes. And like red pill suggests that you can build yourself up and do a lot of these things. But black pill basically says it's maybe a bit more like pessimistic and out of your control. And I think that there's aspects to it that are true that people don't necessarily like. And what else? Controversy. I go against the carnivores. People don't like that. Like I make fun of Sean Baker and stuff. And like, I don't know. Yeah, a few people really don't like that, because especially given that my channel was built on the carnivore diet and now it's totally changed from that. So yeah, I definitely play around with some stuff that people don't like, but it is what it is.
I love that. Okay, I have follow-up questions here. First of all, I love that you started out on carnivore, on a carnivore basis, and you just flipped from that. Like, did you have any, you don't give me the feeling that you would be that nervous about what other people think. Just again, when you trust yourself, a lot of this other stuff doesn't matter as much. You trust that you're doing the right thing. But did you have thoughts about like, fuck, what is this going to do to my viewership? If, I mean, again, your livelihood isn't depending on this, which I think is, you know, for a certain point in time, that's great. And then if you want it to be at a certain point in time, it can be. But were you nervous about kind of going against the values that you started with?
I wasn't nervous. No. So I definitely wasn't nervous. I could care less what some people on the internet comment about me. Like what I was going through in school was a different level. Like that was real life. That was me in school speaking out against everything that we were being taught, and people were pissed off. I was at the table with my friends at lunch. People are giving me like death looks walking by. People are like, it was insane. And this is like nothing. Like this is no big deal at all. So yeah, I wasn't scared at all. I knew that my viewership would drop. I knew that subscribers would drop, but I didn't really care, because it didn't really matter to me. I was fine completely redirecting my audience towards a group of people that were different, maybe younger, more open-minded and stuff like that. I actually predicted it. Like I said in an interview near when all this stuff was starting, I had 22K subscribers. I was like, it's going to go to 19K and bottom out and then it'll come back up again. And I was pretty close. It bottomed out at 18.8 and now it's like slowly climbing up again. But yeah, so I knew what was coming. Like I knew as soon as I went against Ken Berry in the video about him drinking coffee and saying that it was healthy, I was like, okay, like we're going in on them. So yeah.
Okay, I don't know a lot of these people because honestly, I don't do online research. I love the person-to-person aspect of all these things. So I don't like the people that I can talk to, that's kind of who I look up to or whatever. I love the personable aspect of all this stuff, all this diet information and all that. But I do want to talk about coffee for a second because I'm on a journey to achieve a painless period. So like nice hormones and all that. And some women on the raw primal diet have been able to do that. And actually more people who don't necessarily eat raw primal, or some people, even when they used to eat vegan, they said they achieved a painless period. So I'm learning that it's not that weird. But in the States, you almost never hear all these women have hormone problems, right? You almost never hear of a good period. So I interviewed a raw primal girl on the podcast. It's an episode dropping this week. And she said raw primal got her to a really good place with her hormones. So that's where I'm going. And we have been getting on the topic of caffeine because there are some people in the health world that love the caffeine and think of it as like, this is benefiting my health. And then there are people like me that's just like, it feels cool that like the druggy, ex-druggy side of me loves to be hopped up on caffeine, but I just don't feel like my body is loving it. So can you talk a little bit about your approach?
Oh yeah. It's like toxic bean juice. It's like, it's a disaster. I mean, it just goes straight to the adrenals, like raises your cortisol, spikes adrenaline, makes you run on stress hormones. It gives you energy because you're stressed. Like people endorsing coffee, like they're just coping. Like it's just clearly, you know, they're addicted to it. And honestly, I really have no tolerance for it. Like people are like, oh, you know, we cut out all the vegetables and the grains and the desserts. Like, okay, you like you're still using this drug. I mean, yeah, I just tell people like just cut it out. You know, it's like I don't think it's good. Also, coffee plants are the most sprayed plant, so you're getting a dose of like glyphosate and stuff with every a cup of non-organic coffee you drink. Yeah, just not a fan at all.
What is even the argument for caffeine? I never even understood that. And look, guys, like if you drink caffeine, this is my opinion. If you drink caffeine and you like it and it feels good for your health, then do what you want. Like that's always been the kind of motto here. I'm not trying to say that anyone's wrong for doing what feels good for them or whatever, but I did never even understand what the argument for coffee is.
Yeah, I mean, like a lot of people will break it down like a super biochemical level, like you drink caffeine, it releases this amount of this neurotransmitter which does this in the body and creates a cascade of this thing. It's like Andrew Huberman is like, he's a neurobiologist at Stanford, he's huge following on YouTube and just on the internet. He preaches caffeine rather being healthy. And you know, some people say that it's associated with certain things like in the long term. And maybe it is, like maybe it's a sign of affluence and the richer people who drink coffee who have other health benefits outside of the coffee are going to appear to be healthier. But it's not the coffee that's doing it. So yeah, no, I haven't heard a strong argument for coffee because it literally doesn't exist. Like it's just a drug that stresses you out and produces fake energy. So
yeah, I can see that viewpoint. Do richer people drink coffee?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, when I look at things like this, I just think about affluence. Like cigarettes are associated with longevity. So like maybe that's just a sign of affluence. Eating meat is associated with longevity. Maybe it's just a sign of affluence. And affluence is definitely called like helping with longevity. So It's possible.
I like how you think. You're thinking in my eyes at a very high level here. I haven't even thought of that, the relationship to what people's lifestyle are. How are is cigarettes related to longevity? That's wild to me. That's wild. Okay, so let's go back here to the black pill, because this is new vocab for me. The idea that your aesthetic appearance can kind of dictate your relationships with people and what people are looking for. Something that I've noticed in the raw primal community, and I don't know where it is in the carnivore community, I'm curious to hear your thoughts, is how people reverse age when they do the raw primal diet. Have you seen this shit? Like, I don't know if you followed Wes Rowe, the Real Natural Human Diet, but or raw meat experiment, like how they looked before they started eating raw meat and now how they look years later. And I'm talking like 5 years later, not even like decades. Oh my God, they look 10 years younger 5 years later. And like Wes Rowe is in, he's, I think he's 40, I think, don't quote me, but like around that age, he looks like my age, like maybe 30 or something like that. And he looked older before. So this is amazing to me that one, reverse aging is possible, and two, that I want to make the point that people get very attractive to me when they start eating this diet. Like so for me, if I don't get the right vibes, let's just take it here on like a dating context. If I don't get the right vibes, even if someone is attractive to me, I'm like kind of not attracted to them, right? I think people, I'm a very superficial person. I love, obviously, I have tattoos just because I like how they look. I like the aesthetic part. So it people score great points when they are attractive to me. But if there's some little pieces about their personality, I'm like, I don't vibe with that on like a spiritual level, or their lifestyle sucks, I'm like, okay, this is not a match. So in a sense, I do agree with you, because I want my future husband to be hot. I value that. I value that on every level, on a primal level, but also just on a thought level. I like that. I want my husband to be hot. So what I've noticed is when people start doing this diet and their skin gets really beautiful and their face kind of fills out, I think the guys, their jawline, literally, I've heard some guys say their jawline changes. People just get vibrant. And I think also, to speak on like a deeper level here too, I think their spirit gets vibrant too, because most people in the primal community get very intuitive when they start doing this. And I'm noticing now when I go on normie dating apps, no one is attractive to me, Joey. Even the guys that used to be attractive to me aren't anymore, because now I know what like health looks like. And on a very primal level, I'm not really attracted to people who don't have that like beautiful skin and beautiful structure. So I do kind of believe in a way with what you're saying, and I'm wondering what kind of transformations in anti-aging you've seen in like your community.
Oh yeah, I mean people do pretty crazy things on this diet. I've seen a lot of stuff. I mean honestly, like on all diets, there's examples of this stuff on vegan diets, on carnivore diets, on raw primal. I'm not too immersed in the space, so I don't know a ton. But yeah, people definitely do make some huge improvements, and like this is why I don't totally buy the black pill, because I do agree with you that their lifestyle needs to be correct. There's a lot that needs to be in check along with the looks. So yeah, you can't just be attractive and be taking a bunch of shots all the time and be brainwashed, and like you'll be wanted, like approached by other people, especially primals. So yeah, I mean like so the way I see it is this: in nature, obviously you're attracted to something only by its looks, but in humans there are other factors involved. Why? Because we basically live in this sort of slave world where we need money and we need other things, we need resources, we need to live a different life. And as a result, there are a bunch of different factors that come into play when determining the eligibility of like a sexual partner. So yeah, some of those factors that come into play are how able you are to navigate this through this world, like how able you are to understand what's really going on, because that's really important. And like the goal of every biological organism is to reproduce and protect the young. So you want to have a partner who's going to help you reproduce and protect the young, which means that partner needs to be able to understand the world. Because if they're just totally brainwashed, then they can't raise that child properly. They let that child get shot. They let that child eat poorly. So it definitely does play into like the overall desire of a human being, like choosing a person for traits that are separate from the actual looks. But yeah, that's how I view it.
Yep, I agree. And I can feel that too. Like I can feel that I just wouldn't feel as a woman, I feel like I wouldn't feel as safe with a male who like doesn't know how to take care of their health and is like drinking energy drinks. 'Cause a lot of people do that sneakily. Like I've gone on dates with some guys who are like they have a wood stove, they're chopping wood all day, they're very like stable and they love home cooking, but they'll be like kind of on the side smoking a little bit or drinking energy. And I'm like, where does that come from? I also think it's a mental health thing too, like kind of tying into what you're saying, but it's not just about, oh, they want energy, oh, they work really hard, so they want to get energy and they're just making the quote unquote wrong choices about how to get that energy. I think it's like a coping mechanism. I think you were saying something a little bit similar earlier on in the episode, like why do you keep going to something that's gonna destroy your body? That, you know, I think there's just more of a mental element than we realize there. It's kind of like a self-harm thing, a self-harm cycle. So when I see that, I kind of do read into it and I say like, yeah, I don't think that person is gonna be stable and fit to raise a family, you know.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah. We can definitely take cues that are like in addition to looks. Like I generally think that looks are a good marker for a person's overall like biological eligibility as a sexual partner, because a lot of times the looks are also markers for strength. And like height and like a bunch of different things, like your waist to shoulder ratio, and like there's a bunch of different things. And yeah, so it can re represent a lot of things in addition to just how you look. But yeah, there's definitely things that you can't extrapolate just from a person's face.
Yep, I get that. I get that. Like the height thing makes sense. And the like for women, maybe this is men too. How our weight is distributed, like you're saying, if it's like if there's a lot of weight around your stomach, that a lot of people say that has to do with like a hormone imbalance. If there's a lot of weight around your thighs and it's like not evenly distributed fat, there's something going on there with your health. And this can sound so we have people in this podcast audience that maybe they don't even eat meat, right? This is a self-development podcast in general. Like I'm in the raw primal space as of more recently, but I'm also in the self-development space. I like have a business school and all of that. So I'm just mainly into empowerment and getting people to think for themselves and become inspired and not be pressed down by society, right? So there are some people here who might be listening to us who might be saying, "You fucking assholes. Like, why this is so judgmental and shitty and why would you look so far into it?" But I think the important part that I want to highlight is, first of all, again, let me just continue on with this value of, look, if you're happy doing what you're doing, then keep doing what you're doing. I'm not saying that you're wrong. But second of all, if you look a certain way and you do want to change that, or you want to go and find a partner who does look a certain way, know that anti-aging is possible, fat distribution, fat redistribution is possible. You can totally transform your skin. You can transform all this shit. I'm not saying you have to, but it's an option. Do what makes you feel good and know that if you're looking for a partner who feels healthy and looks healthy to you, there's going to be more and more of these people out there every day, every year. You know, more and more people, they're catching on to this. So Joey, what is your relationship to dating right now? It sounds like you're like you got a lot of stuff going on, but I'm curious what your experience personally has been with that.
Okay, so I love relationships. Like I was never into the hookup thing in high school. I really like relationships, and so like I did that. I did like a really long one in high school, and like that was good, but I think it needed to end because she was super brainwashed, and like would have given the kids shots. And I was just like, it was so good that it ended, even though I was totally in love with her. It was just like,
Aww.
it had to happen. So it was like, I'm very happy it did, because like that's the past now. And I mean, so the YouTube actually provides like a pretty good means to reach people, since there's a fairly big audience of these young girls who just can't find guys that are into this stuff. And like they want to talk to guys who actually care about health, who care about food, who understand the world, what's happening, like how to raise kids, like all this stuff. It's really important. Want to have kids young, not do a crazy career in finance and Wall Street and poison yourself. And like, you know, a lot of people want that. And that's what I'm starting to find. So my experience with it, let's see. I don't have experience since starting the channel with anyone who's like been an audience member or anything, but I do think that when I do find someone, it will be through my platform, just because I have had like a lot of messages, and which is great, because it's like I'm reaching a lot of people, and it makes it easier for me, because it's very hard to find someone in this space without the use of technology. Like, it's very difficult, since Primal's so small, and like you could find an open-minded person and convert them, but that's a whole mission in itself. Like, that's not easy either. And I mean,
And
I
I
was
think
thinking
it
about
gets
that.
muddy, right? Because when people are in love, they might be like, oh, maybe I'll try this for a while. But in my personal experience, trying to convince someone else was never a sustainable way to like change their mind. Like you might do that temporarily, but if they're not feeling it in their soul, eventually they kind of like have to learn it their own way. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I think so. Okay, I have a couple like pillars that I go by when I'm assessing a girl, and the
Yes,
two
let's
like
get into this.
the well the two main ones are like just looks and open-mindedness. Like, those are huge to me. Number one being looks, and then number two being how open you are. Like, are you willing to like change your complete idea of the world? And like not go to college, or if you want to, you can, but like, are you willing to hear out the other side? And so those are my two big ones. And I have others. Like, one of them is not like having these. I think those could be pretty bad for a girl, like ideally in an ideal world. So the first two that I just mentioned are like non-negotiables. Like, they need to have those two things. And then this thing is like cool. That'd be a good addition. And then I
That's nice.
also do care about I do care about body count. Like, I value that as well. So those would be my four things.
What was the last one? Body?
Body count.
What's body count?
Like, how many sexual partners that person has had.
Oh, that's interesting. Whoo, you get me there, my friend. You get me there because I've been like 25 years of partying really hard. Yeah, but the beautiful thing is too, which I get that in this space too. When you start to adopt these values of, really wholesome living, you start to want to crave that someone who's not sleeping around all the time. And it is, I will say, on a spiritual level, a very prominent exchange of energy. Like you kind of take a piece of that person's soul, because I've definitely had sex with some people who I wouldn't have sex with if I was sober. And they had some shit going on in their lives, and I felt like that was weighed down on my shoulders. There's an exchange of energy there every time we
Yeah,
say
no,
yes.
there is. But I think it's what you're describing is a very unique situation, because most of the girls, from what I've seen, most of the girls who do sleep around in their past have a mindset that really can't be changed. But what you're describing is like you did that, and like you like kind of look back, and you're like maybe changed in some ways, and it's like I don't see that very often. So it's very unique, and I think it's very interesting. And
Wow, that surprises me.
yeah, because yeah, I just don't see many people who like have slept around who have then gone ahead and like changed the way they think to such a great degree. Like most of the girls I know who slept around through high school were the ones who were super involved in like the liberal ideas and like the feminist movement and like things like that, like just really like perpetuating the ideas that we were being taught and the woke culture. So they're stuck. I can never imagine them switching over to a more like conservative, traditional belief system with the way families should be.
Okay, interesting. I was surprised to hear you say that because I poll my Instagram audience all the time and then the people on Primal Meetup too. So we have like a dating room in the Primal Meetup app. And I poll people on there about like sex and dating and all of that. We talk about that a lot on here and like how many kids they want. And it's so fun to poll people in the Primal community. How many kids do you want? Because everyone wants like a small army. Like we want so many kids to like
Yeah,
be
I know, it's
Primal.
awesome. Yeah.
I know.
How many kids do you want?
I want a small army.
Yeah.
You too?
Oh yeah, like yeah, for sure. I want an
Want
army. Like, and I was saying, like, once I have once we're once my kids and I and the family set up, it's like we're not going anywhere. Like we'll need a bus to like travel around. So, yeah.
love that. There's something so nice about that. And apparently, childbirth gets really. I mean, I don't know for sure, but apparently it gets quote unquote easy when you're doing this type of diet and your health is in such a good space. So I just think it sounds fun. It sounds fun to go through that process again and again. And I love pregnancy and I've never been pregnant, but I'm just excited for all of that. But polling people in this community, it seems like everyone has kind of changed their ideals. Or, Joey, it's like a cool because primal, I don't know if this is a thing in the carnivore community, but because primal is such a tight-knit community, it can get a little cliquey. So I think there's some cultural pressure too. It's like the opposite cultural pressure than the woke culture, right? Because everyone at the end of the day, if you're not super confident in yourself, you kind of want to fit in. So I don't know if in the general primal community, there's like a pressure to say, oh, I want marriage and I want kids because everyone else is saying that. But I know like people are so genuine in Primal Meetup and I would say also in my Instagram community, it's not like I think anyone's lying. I don't know if in general as a culture there's some pressure to just agree with everyone else. But yeah, I've just heard everyone that I've talked to who's into the primal culture. Actually, that's not true. Most people are very into monogamy. There's some people in Raw Primal that are polygamous because that's like ancestral. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the reason I know that we're not naturally polygamous is because of how jealous people get when their partners go with other people. And that's like it's an immediate sign that we're not, because you wouldn't feel so jealous. And it's everyone, like everyone gets jealous when their partner goes with someone else. And the people who don't get jealous, to me, like look pretty mentally ill. Like they're the ones like who like have a look to me that makes them seem like something's not totally right. So yeah, that's how I analyze the situation. I'm pretty sure we're polygamous.
And you don't think that's societal programming?
No, I don't. I don't think so. Because yeah, no, I don't think so. Because we're not even being programmed these days to necessarily embrace monogamy. Like all the TED Talks are about polygamy, polyamory, from what I see. And yeah, people still stick to these, like the traditional idea of a relationship with two people. And also, if monogamy were to be just social conditioning, why would it have been adopted in the first place? Like, who would have been orchestrating that conditioning? The only reason it would have happened, as I see it, is because it's natural. Like, there would have been no force, manipulating people and saying like, you guys need to do two couples of two. You, like, take your group of five and stop doing that. I think it would have come into fruition on a natural basis.
That's true. That's true. And I mean, this is just something that I felt intuitively always. Like There's been very few times in my life where I really wanted multiple partners. And I even think, like, if I were to go back to those times, even in the moment, I knew that I wanted, like, I think there are a lot of people out there sleeping with a lot of different people, not because they want to sleep with a lot of different people, but because they want like emotional support. They want connection that they're not getting. And they can't like, so in my situation, I wasn't finding people that I liked, so I just like slept with people randomly to get that connection that I was desiring, you know, instead of just waiting for someone that I really liked. So I think there are a lot of people out there who are having this lifestyle of you know, multiple partners, but they don't even really want that. It's actually what they want is the monogamous connection. They just haven't, maybe it wasn't reflected to them in childhood, or they feel like they can't get it. They don't feel worthy of it, so they're having all the different partners. I just think there's like a there's a deeper psychological reason for having multiple partners beyond just I want to. Not always, but for me, that was the case. It was never like I always just wanted someone who I liked, who really liked me to stay together with. That's always what I wanted. But if that didn't work out and I still felt like I needed connection, that's when I went to the multiple partners. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get that. I'm just trying to think, like, what do I th I haven't thought about this much. Like, what drives someone to sleep with a bunch of people? Yeah, I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. Like, maybe if they just had that connection, and like it comes into both sides. You know, people these days, young people are not wanting to commit. They want novelty. And so yeah, it kind of like drives people to fill those needs in like more transient ways. Like you just do short-term stuff with people. And I agree with you. I agree with you.
Okay. What do you think about porn culture?
Yeah, it's I mean, what can I say? It's bad. Yeah, it's bad.
I was gonna say I could guess what your answer would be, but I think we might have people in this audience that are kind of on the fence about that. There's like a surprising amount of people who know the bad effects of porn and they still do it. I think especially men seem to be susceptible to that. So, do you have any words for those folks who are like, they know it's bad, but they kind of keep doing it?
Okay, so if people know that something is bad and they keep doing it, I think they don't care enough. Like, I think it's just very simple. Like, when you know something is bad, when you know that smoking is bad, you know that alcohol is bad, and you keep doing it, it's like you don't care enough about your health. And it's the same thing, like with porn. It comes down to health. Like, this is not something that's separable from the actual state of your health. It's totally intertwined with it because it affects your brain. It affects your levels of dopamine. You get a much higher peak of dopamine when you use porn to masturbate than if you were to not use porn. So like it definitely messes up your health. And so I think it's the same principle with eating junk food. It's like, yeah, it's going to give you short-term pleasure, but at what cost? So yeah, I think it's like I'd be viewed exactly as junk food basically.
Yeah, cool. I agree with that. And it reminds me of something that has been happening to people on this diet, especially raw primal. I think it's also a thing in the carnivore world too, just based on who I've interviewed. The because of the hormone balance, you get like a super high sex drive. You've heard of that?
Yeah, I mean, I felt that. Yeah, so
Same. And I'm like, I'm over here. Like, how are people dealing with this? Because it was so strong for me. And I'm still dealing with it. But for me as a woman, it's more of like a monthly cycle. So there are certain times in the month I know when to expect it, but when it comes, I'm like, because it's like my body wanting to make babies, right? Like when I'm ovulating. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so hard. And when you want to not have casual sex, I just haven't been having sex and it's just kind of like hard, you know? It's a hard thing. And so for me, I'm like, if I'm dealing with it in such a difficult way, or like if I'm having such a difficult time with this, how are the dudes feeling? 'Cause you guys, it's like a daily thing for you, right?
Oh yeah. Like I mean we're on 24-hour cycles, whereas women are on like 28-day cycles. So it's, yeah, it's just like the same thing every day. I mean, yeah, it's not easy. I definitely want to meet someone soon. I just like really like dating someone. So, I mean, for me, like what I would find to be so ideal would be like going back home, like finding someone who would just be willing to travel around, or not necessarily travel around, but relocate somewhere in South or Central America for a while. And you know, like we just get whatever, some sort of easy online job that's low stress and like low work. And we just enjoy life on a beach somewhere. Like to me, that's just that's ideal for me. I definitely feel what you're talking about.
That sounds awesome. And I, what you were saying about how you'll probably meet someone on your platform, I completely agree. Like, you're in such a great place. There are so many girls right now that are like, yes, that's what I want to do. So if anyone's listening, we'll have Joey's details in the show notes. What else was I going to say about that? I don't remember, but yeah, I think we're going to see some really cool things happen in the communities. Like, I already know people that have come together. They lived on different sides of the country, but they came together. One person moved the other person out to them, and they're engaged now. And they Ira meet in the Raw Primal community, or I'm hopefully having a couple on soon who they're pregnant. It's like the first primal baby that I know about that's coming out, that's full Raw Primal. And it's just,
Didn't yeah t didn't t isn't wait, can I say the name? Is that allowed?
I think so.
Yeah, no, are you talking about Wes? Like didn't he meet his wife online?
Yes, he
yeah
did.
yeah yeah it's, so yeah, it's awesome.
It's
Yeah, it's
so
really cool.
cool. And now they're engaged. And then but the people that I'm talking about that are pregnant are another couple. Yeah, so all these cool things are happening. And it was cool to hear Wes say too on one of his lives, people are asking him all the time, like, how do I meet someone? How do I meet a primal person? And he said, start a channel and they will come to you, and you know, vice versa. And I think also it's gonna be cool to see people come together in different places, because there are a lot of people out there that won't date anyone who's not in their area. But I think I have really high hopes for people coming together from remote locations, because we're dedicated. Like, I would say, especially, I don't, again, don't really know the carnivore community, but raw primal people are fucking dedicated. They're like, this is like, it becomes your life, because you're like, I feel so good doing this. And like me, you know, I just kind of started getting serious about the primal diet, but I can't really imagine dating someone who's not, who doesn't at least have these basic values. I would move for someone. You know, there are a lot of people open to this, and I think we don't have to say, oh, just because I don't see anyone in my immediate environment, it can't work out with anybody, you know.
So when you go on dates with people, do you go to like a restaurant? And if so, what do you do?
I know. So I haven't been on any dates with anyone. Well, okay, my last date I went with someone was like a month ago, and we went to a cocktail bar, and I got like sparkling water. And so it's like, I'm just boring. Or something I do that a lot of people, like, I guess, wouldn't agree with in this community, I just eat the fucking food. Because for
Yeah,
me, I
I do
just,
too.
you do too? Oh, that's interesting. I wouldn't have expected that necessarily, because I believe that I've proven to myself, like you're saying about the mindset thing, if I can just say, okay, when my family goes out to eat, it's most important for me to go out and enjoy a meal with my fucking family. Because I've also done the thing where I get stressed about it, or I don't know what to do. So I'm like, I don't know, should I just order rice, or should I just not order anything, or should I just order what everyone else is eating? And it's way too much stress. So I decided on this mindset note, I'm just gonna go do it if I wanna do it. And I know that my body can handle it, because I've seen my body heal before, and I'm not just gonna think it's the worst thing ever. So it depends. But if I'm not, these days, Joey, I don't really wanna go out on a date with someone who wants to go get normal food. I just don't want to. I don't know if that's gonna change in the future, but that's just not where I'm at right now. So what's your approach?
Oh, you know, I'm same page. Like I will be pretty strict on my own, but if I want to go out with friends or like with whatever it may be, you know, with my ex-girlfriend in high school, I was very strict on carnivore, but we would go and I would like eat normal people food, but I would just say like please cook it in butter instead of seed oils. That would be my one thing. Like I don't want to eat seed oils. that's big to me. It's all it had it's been for a while. So that's the only thing that I would specify. But yeah, like it to me, it's totally not worth it. And I get for some people who are maybe really vulnerable to like a relapse of sorts on you know, to a poor eating pattern, like maybe avoid it. But for me, like I just don't see it as being too damaging. I don't even feel worse the next day after I do like a little cheat because I had fun, you know, I enjoyed it. Yeah. I wasn't overthinking about food. I could actually like focus on real life. So to me, there's always like a cost benefit analysis, and it's just not worth like being too that different all the time.
Exactly. I completely agree. And this came for me with like so much experimentation. Cause like I said, I wasn't someone who was super confident with what I was doing. So I went through a lot of different approaches, and what felt best to me at the end of the day was like, figure out what your top priority is like at in that season of your life or that week of your life. Like sometimes it's, I'm going through kind of a detox and I just want to get through the detox. And I'm like, I really don't want to eat restaurant food because I don't want to mess this up. I want to like keep it going with what my body needs to deal with. I don't want to make it worse. So I will go out and just like not eat. But then sometimes it feels really important for me to just top priority is connecting with my family or connecting with my friends. And I don't want to fuck around with thinking about what I should be doing or shouldn't be doing. So we just go and I do it. And that yeah. always feels good to me because, again, if your mind is right and you're like, yeah, this is what I feel like doing, so I'm going to commit to that, it's just clean. It's clean yeah. and clear, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Let's see. Okay. So where do you see, you're in this very interesting period of your life right now. It's kind of like, it feels like there's a lot you want to experiment with, but at the same time, it feels like you really know what you want. So what do you see happening in like the next year of your life?
Yeah. There's a lot. Okay. So I really want to grow this platform. Like, right now, the big raw meat platform is Spheria or Sferage, whatever you know him as. I'm sure you know. He's like the big raw meat platform. And I want to grow. Like I want to spread the message that brings me happiness and makes me feel fulfilled. And so this is what I really want to crack down on. And I want to learn YouTube. Like I want to learn how to really grow a channel. And like, because it goes beyond just the quality of the content. It gets into thumbnails and title optimization. Yeah, I'll learn all that so I can actually do something, like be really effective. And I want, honestly, like, I really value the dating stuff. Like, that's important. I want to meet someone, you know, that would be great. I'm always happier when I'm in a relationship. So, I don't like plan the future too much. I don't set goals necessarily. I kind of just set requirements for myself. Like, what do I want? How much time do I want to devote to this? Like, I don't set marks that I need to reach. I find that to be kind of stressful. So yeah, I just want to be happy, to be honest. That's really what it comes down to. I know what I need to do to feel happy and fulfilled. So yeah.
And it's basically those things that you need to be happy and fulfilled.
Yeah, it's basically just high quality food, living in nature, having a girl. Yeah, like those are really the big ones. Ideally being on a beach or next to some waterfalls or hot springs. I love hot springs. I mean, pretty simple, like really just simple stuff, I think, but not the easiest to get necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. I say that a lot, that like the best things are always the simplest, you know, like the most, yeah. The best advice, the best scenarios, the best feelings always are derived from simple stuff. It's like really great guidelines to live by, the simplest experience. And everything, I've studied manifestation a lot and I have a course on that and stuff. So like a lot of what I've found in manifestation is like when I want something, it's more like a feeling that I'm trying to achieve. Sometimes it's a thing and I just want the thing, But often it's like, I want the thing to achieve the feeling. And the feeling is always simple.
I haven't thought about that. Yeah, it's all for a feeling, I guess. Yeah, it's all motivated by feelings. Yeah, completely. Like a lot of times people will want to win a game. And like I would play a lot of soccer. I would want to win a game or score the goal. Why? Not because I want to score the goal, because I want the status associated with that, accomplishment. So yeah, but, I mean, for sure, we're motivated by outcomes, and outcomes are feelings.
Yeah, love it. Okay, so what's your thought on competitiveness? Because it's never made sense to me. Like, okay, let me say this. I'm competitive with people I don't know or I don't like. Because I'm like, I don't know. When I'm creating a new project and I look at someone else's random project that could be seen as similar, I want my thing to be better than like whatever my what I can be competitive with people that I don't know to create a product that is needed in the market as an entrepreneur, right? So like Primal Meetup had to be the best app. It had to be, and I believe it is right now. Like, and it doesn't have to be in the future, but like I believe it is right now. It's the best vibe, raw primal group I've ever been in and I've ever heard about ever. There's just the best, there's the best vibes in there. But I've never understood people being competitive about something like sports. Like, what? That just seems like such an unhealthy way of being. But some people are really like, no, being competitive is healthy. So, like, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I'm super competitive about everything. Like,
Oh.
yeah, ultra competitive. It's hard to describe, but soccer was a huge part of my life. Like, I played through high school. It was everything to me, basically. It was, yeah, it was my life, and I needed to be the best. Like, I needed to be. And I don't know what drives it. I've had a lot of thoughts on this. Definitely there's a status associated with being the best that I maybe gravitated towards and I liked. Maybe it just sports was a way to fulfill my desire for like hunting. Like I really want to hunt. I've always wanted to hunt. And maybe this was like my primal replacement for that. I think that's what a lot of athletics actually fulfill in the mind of a guy. It's like, if I can't do this one thing that I'm not even thinking about, well, I need to. I'm going to do this to make up for it in a sense. So I don't know. I've always wanted to win with anything. Maybe trying to think if not necessarily even at the expense of others, although that's what comes with winning. Like when you win, you push someone else down inevitably. Because for you to win, there has to be a loser. And that's what I've noticed. Nobody wins without pushing someone else down, even if you don't mean to. So, yeah, I love to win. Like, I don't know. I haven't psychoanalyzed myself much in that way, although maybe there's some stuff I can get down to if I really thought about it.
Yeah, I guess there always is, and it just depends how big of a problem we think something is, or how much we want to change something, you know? Because I'm also looking at you and hearing you say that you're competitive and thinking about your content, and being competitive is a way to really help yourself career-wise, you know? Even if, you know, there's an aspect of that that's not very communal. I think there have been a lot of entrepreneurs who have molded their competitiveness into like being competitive with themselves, so they're not like shitting on their friends out there, but they're like pushing. It's just like a matter of creating something great and wanting to be great. I think we'd all be a lot more successful if we wanted to be great and we had that drive. And sometimes competitiveness can fuel that.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's just when I look back in my life, so I've had different moments where I would be around one friend group where they're like doing really like scammy stuff, like really low life stuff that I was into and around. And then I've also been in groups where people are just very, very on their stuff. Like they're doing what they need to do. And I just think about my priorities in each sense. And it's just totally different. I've always been driven. I've always wanted to be the best, but being the best in the context of losers isn't that great. Whereas being the best in the context of like some people who are actually thriving is a much bigger accomplishment. So for me, I don't know what it stems from, but no matter what group I'm in, I always try to win, and I usually do. So like I try to surround myself with the best possible people, because I know that I feel like I need people to push me. Mm-hmm. Like I just do. I don't know why that is, but I need people in my circle of some sort, whether it be digital, who I'm speaking to every day, or just literally friends in my life. I just need to be, I can't be the bottom. I just can't. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that can be helpful and healthy. And like, you get to decide what you make out of that drive that you have, you know? Yeah, it's interesting stuff. Okay, so I have more recently started posting to YouTube, Joey, and my reach sucks. And you have created a great community on YouTube. Do you have any tips for me on how to create something on there?
But it's Emily's Root Awakening, is that?
Yeah, emily's.rootawakening.
Okay. So let's see. Okay. First thing is thumbnails should be very simple. So do super simple, but like surprise faces.
Oh, I hate that, Joey. Ugh, that's like,
yeah, crazy. I mean, yeah, it's just like depends. Because you got to think, people are scrolling on YouTube in the browsing section, and they see your thing for a split second. Like, they can't even read. Like, they're not going to read the rap music is degenerative narrative in the raw primal diet. We're like, they're not going to read it. They're going to keep scrolling. And, like, as much as it sucks, I hate it too. Like, I really don't like it. But, it like, you kind of have to play the game a little bit, feed into people's lack of patience in order to get them to click. And yeah, like that's just the way I see it. And what else? Like, more, yeah, just clickbait. Like, it's really about clickbait.
Oh my God, that is like the last answer I wanted to hear coming from your
yeah,
mouth.
Yeah, it's just like content is less than 50% of it, for sure. The title and thumbnail are probably over 50%. What I've heard and from what I've talked to people about. So it just, I mean, yeah, maybe you have to compromise your dignity a little bit. I guess you kind of have to figure out if it's worth it or not, like changing the way your channel looks in a way that you really don't like just to get more views. It may not be worth it. And in that case, just like, don't do it. Yeah. But that's what I would say.
Okay. All right. It's good to know, because I don't know much about the YouTube community. And everything I've built has been like 100% in good moral standing to me, you know? So I'm really attached to that. Like, because here's the thing, Joey, like, I go on YouTube and I see people clickbaiting and I'm like, that's cheesy. And then I move on, you know? So I guess I'm not like a person that consumes on YouTube. So,
okay. Well, how about this? So think about some ways that you could like feed into people's lack of patience without being clickbaity per se. Like something like I try, like the first diet that worked after 10 years of like dieting, or like how I fixed my painful periods, or like 2 years of eating meat, how my life changed. Like really basic things that are simple, that are just you talking, because people do want to hear that. Like, there definitely is a way to capitalize without being too crazy and like clickbaity and stuff. Just like going with simplicity. So yeah.
Okay, that I can get into, because, and it makes sense, because you know, when I do use YouTube, when I'm fucking desperate and I need to know how to do something. And yeah. I have actually gotten some like people who found my content because they Googled like, how do I help myself with this health thing, you know? That's smart. You know who I can really see you coaching people? Would you ever do that?
So this is it's funny that you bring that up, because I used to have like a consultation thing,
Yeah.
and people got so pissed off. They're like, Joey, you're 18. I was 18 at the time when I started. Like, Joey, you're 18. How are you doing this? It's like, oh, you guys.
Jealous. They were
Yeah,
jealous.
they were really mad. I still have it up, but people could get them. Yeah,
Oh,
I would love
cool.
to. Like, that's kind of in my family. My mom's a nutritionist. She's very good with people. Yeah, no, I really like talking to people and like trying to help and use a wide range of tools to get to people's problems instead of the carnivore coaches being like, oh, you're depressed and you can't sleep. Okay, eat more cooked ribeye. It's like there's more stuff there.
Yeah, you have a very holistic approach. Oh my God, that's cool. So folks, if you're interested, you can book with Joy. Do you have a link that you can send me that I can put in the show notes to book with you?
Yeah, it's in my like it's in the description of every one of my videos, so you'll be able to find it.
Perfect. Okay, we'll put that in the show notes so you guys can book with him directly through, going through the show notes on this podcast. And what was I going to say about that too? I like how you're very neutral. You have a very neutral way of communicating, which I like. Like you have strong opinions, but it's comfortable to talk to you, which I think is so important for people who need guidance. Because whenever I feel like I'm being like forced into something or a holistic approach isn't being taken, I get skeptical. Like I get skeptical of people who are way too kind of like, do it my way or you're not doing it right kind of vibe. So yeah, I could even see you like coaching people in business, and like how to grow
Yeah,
a following. Because
maybe.
you've done that at a relatively young age,
Maybe, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that the closed-mindedness is just immature, to be honest. Like when I was saying, cooked carnivore is the only way, like I feel embarrassed that I was telling people that. Like that's just embarrassing. Like I thought it was the root of all problems, all plant foods. Like just so ridiculous, like being so closed-minded. And now I think back to the way I used to be. I'm like, I'm open to being wrong. Like, I'm not gonna say I know everything. I'm like, prove me wrong, please. So, yeah, I think it's childish. And I think like a lot of the carnivore people who are so dogmatic about all plant foods literally being poison is just dogma, and it's immature, I think.
I agree. 'Cause you see that happen every time someone finds, a diet or a protocol that they love and they're new to it. This also happens in the spiritual world. They find spirituality. I did this and I was like, "Oh, I know what's wrong in everybody's lives." I worked as a psychic for a little bit. Like that was my job. And it was very like, "I know what's wrong with you. You don't know anything." And when you follow that mindset, you get shown really quickly that you're not right about everything, and you're like you're saying, Joey, there is always room for quote unquote error or to learn more. And you just see that you can often tell when people are new to a concept within the last like year or something because they're very dogmatic about it and they haven't been
Yeah.
open to seeing other examples of other things working. Okay, so do you have any words for anyone here? Is there any message that you want to communicate before we close down?
Just like life is too short to not enjoy it. Like as cheesy as it sounds, like that's the real thing, the main thing. Like it's not worth, fucking up your life and doing things something you really hate. Just so you can like think you're helping yourself out in the long run. Gently, usually, like really think very carefully about the sacrifices you choose to make. And in my case, not going to college was very important because that those 4 years would have been torture. Like literally torture. I would have had to eat the garbage food, be in a super high EMF environment around people that I hate, like a culture that I didn't resonate with, learning an education that was totally complete mind control. Like I had just to maybe boost myself up in the future, possibly. It's like it's not worth it. So yeah, in addition to that, just some like basic health things that I think are important, like ground every morning and get sunlight, like right when you wake up instead of checking your phone. And then get light and ground through the day, ideally, and eat seasonal, local, organic with raw animal foods. And I think And don't stress out. Like life's just too short to stress. You know, like it's we're all lucky to be alive, be grateful for stuff, and yeah, it's really not that complicated, pretty simple. But I mean, like you said, the simple things are not always easy to get. You gotta figure out how to achieve that.
Yeah, great advice. Great, awesome advice. Where can we find you? Where can our listeners find you on social media?
Yeah, so just like my YouTube, just my name, Joey Schwartz, and yeah, that's pretty much it. I have an Instagram, but I don't really use it. So maybe I'll start, but yeah, basically my YouTube.
Okay. Cool. Joey Schwartz, thank you so much for joining me on this episode. It was so fun to talk to you and learn about you. It was such a cool conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, you guys, I need your help here. I want to get word spread about the info that we share in this show as much as possible. I want it to reach around the world. It already has. I want it to continue to reach around the world. And I want us to be able to share this information because this is empowering shit. You guys know that I only share empowering shit on here. I only share stuff that is going to make you feel like your dreams can become a reality and you can create what you want in your life and you can achieve what you want in your life and big changes can happen. Big evolution can happen in a positive direction in your life. I've done that in my life. It is my goal. It is my life purpose to help as many other people achieve that as well. So if you can help me do this, I would be so grateful. Please share this episode, share my podcast, other people about my podcast, share it on Instagram. I would just so appreciate that. Subscribe, whatever we can do to get the word out more about this information. I love providing it for you guys. It makes me so happy, and it would just mean the world to me if you continue to share it. I love you guys so much. Info on how to work with me is in the show notes. I have a group coaching course. I have one-to-one private coaching. I have a workshop. There will be more offerings in the future. There's a lot going on. So all of this info is in the show notes, and enjoy. I can't wait to see you on the next episode. Talk to you soon. I love you.